civilization, and I've heard the propaganda. I've heard the lies they whisper to my soul. I have been forsaken, and I'll always be forgotten. No matter what I do, it's not enough. And then I heard a voice as it opened up the heavens, reminding me of who I've always been. I am your beloved, you have born me with your blood, and on your hand you've written out my name. I am your beloved, one the Father loves. Mercy has defeated all my shame. No accusation, nor any condemnation. When I look into my Father's eyes, they don't see my sin, they only see redemption. And this is how my heart has been defined. Is louder than the thunder, reminding me of who I've always been. I am your beloved, you have bought me with your blood, and on your hand you've written out my name. I am your beloved, one the Father loves. Mercy has defeated all my shame. Oh, the one who knows me best is the one who loves me most. There is nothing I have done that could change the Father's love. Oh,
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for being here listening to Bethel Music with me this morning here on LFA TV's Rise Up, and it is May 29th, year of our Lord, 2024. So very happy to be here with you guys this morning, as I am every morning, because like I just said in the live chat, I feel so much comfort in my life, regardless of what's going on. I see so many people. You know, we were just talking about it before the show, and I see it carried over into the show. Other people talking about it too. Financially, people are ruined right now. I've taken pay cuts. Everybody else has taken pay cuts. Financially, people are absolutely being destroyed. It's really starting to catch up to everybody now. And what I will say is that no matter what's going on, I find so much comfort in the arms of God. Now, I know that if somebody says, I can't pay all my bills and they're about to take everything, I know that's one of the hardest times to hear, God will provide, just pray. Because your flesh says, yeah, but prayers don't pay my bills. I beg to differ. Prayers might not pay the bills you want them to pay. Maybe they'll pay or provide what God wants to be paid and provide for. And there's so many people that are feeling the same way right now. And we're almost out of the weeds, folks. We're almost out of the weeds. And I know that that doesn't pay your bills either. But what I will say is that there's comfort found in the arms of Jesus. And all of that stress that people are feeling right now, there's comfort. Let me tell you, since I titled the show A Losing Battle, in the world that we're in right now, thinking that you are going to be the one that gets you out of this hard and difficult and rough tumble time, that's a losing battle. All you can do is wake up every day, grab your books, grab your Bibles, grab your devotionals, learn, pray, smile, and do your best. Now, if you lose something, like a car or a home, God forbid, It's very easy for somebody to say, that is the will of God and there's a reason for it, when A, they're not living it, and B, it hasn't happened, or it's, you know, not happening to them, and it's not hindsight time yet. It's very easy to say that. But don't listen to me. Don't listen to other people. Don't listen to these financial gurus. Just listen to God. That's all. Just listen to God. There's a million things wrong in my life. A million and one, actually. And it's never not been that. And I imagine that's the way it is for a lot of you, too. What has changed is my perspective of those things. Not only my perspective of those things, turn up my microphone here too. Not only my perspective of those things has changed, but because of my perspective of those things that changed, I now don't cause extra problems for myself by my rash and unrighteous and ungodly decisions. Or I should say, it's at a very minimum compared to what it used to be. God only gives you as much as you can handle. But you never know how much you can handle until you have him taking those bricks out of your backpack. All of our hosts, with the exception of a couple, are also being crushed financially. We have a family of seven. You imagine what that grocery bill looks like? There's never anything in the house. There's never anything in the house. But we're going to make it through, folks. Because we're not going to fight the losing battle. That's what we're going to talk about today. But what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to, like I did last week, remove the lower banner and let you guys see God's glory in its action. Let's go ahead and do that, and I'll move out the way. God's glory in all of its action going on right behind us. Going on right outside your door right now. Why don't you take a look outside and smile? Open the door. Close your eyes. Talk to God and hear God speak back to you through the birds, through the wind, through the trees. Sometimes we just need to get off the battlefield and rest in the comfort of God's arms. That is what we're going to talk about today. A losing battle that we should not fight any longer. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Let's have fellowship. Let's hold each other's hands. I know we're not together in person, in the flesh, but by God, we are together spiritually. So let's wrap our arms around each other and let's visually think of that. Let's visually think about when we all go to the ark and we're all physically hugging each other. Let's think of that. And let's think of Jesus being there with us while we go to prayer. Amen? Sound good? Sound like a plan? All right, let's do this. Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord of hosts, light bearer, creator of all things. When we think about how little and insignificant we are without you, and to think about how you, the creator of all things, wants a relationship with us so badly, it's humbling. I feel like without you, I feel like the loser or the nerd in school that had no friends and nobody wanted to talk to him and no girls liked him and nobody wanted anything to do with him. But then here comes you. The most important thing anywhere ever in existence. And you want to be our friend. You want to take us to the dance. You want to accompany us and hang out with us. What a great feeling. What a great feeling. But Lord, so many of us here today are stuck fighting a losing battle. Sometimes we just can't get out of our own way. Sometimes we get sucked into a fight or an argument that we probably have no reason being there for to begin with. And whatever that reason is, Lord, we want to invite you into our lives today to help us understand how to not fight the losing battle and what to do instead of that. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit is strong with us today. I pray that we can feel connected spiritually today. And I pray that your word goes out to everyone who needs to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Furry Grizzly said, I'm still the outcast everywhere I go. Like I said, this town that we live in hates us. Absolutely hates us. Me and my wife and our kids. Do you know when they did not hate us? They did not hate us when we were not outspoken politically, and they did not hate us before we had Jesus in our life. This town started hating us when we became outspoken about the truth, when we said that there needs to be accountability for people who do bad things, and especially when we started talking about God and helping the community as much as we possibly could. Lolo, in a hard financial time, just donated $100. Why? Because God must have put that on their heart. Use where needed, brother. He gave it to me to give to you. Well, you gave to all of LFA TV, not just to me, my friend. And you gave back to the audience as well, so thank you. By the way, this show is not about donations. I'm not asking for donations or anything like that today. ZBM said, why would people hate you all? They hated Jesus long before they ever hated us. They start hating you when you start standing in the way of their demonic and satanic agenda. Anna is back here, but she's unable to sign in. Okay. All right, Anna. Thank you for coming back. We love you and we appreciate you being here. L.M. Berkowski, you're way better off without them. You've got God. You took the words out of my mouth. Now, one of the problems, you know, I'll just keep this right off. One of the problems that we have as Christians is that we are constantly fighting a losing battle. Constantly. Why? Well, today we're going to go to Romans. We're going to go to Romans today to get our verse of the day. And I apologize for not getting a newsletter out this morning. But if everybody can open their Bibles to Romans 16:20. Romans 16, verse 20. I'll give you a time to get there. And we've not read much out of Romans. So while you're getting there in your Bibles, let me read out of this wonderful, beautiful book that I got, Living the 66 Books of the Bible. In the 1950s and 60s, thousands of American women wanted to be queen for a day. Thought that said queer for a minute. I thought it said queer for a day. Makes sense in America. They wanted to be queen for a day. There was a popular television show that interviewed various women about their lives and needs, after which the audience voted on who would become queen for a day. The problem was that most people never won, and the honor only lasted a day. The book of Romans is God's message to us about reigning through life, in life, through Jesus Christ, and doing so every day, forever. We just talked about all these problems going on in the world. Nothing right now more that hits us right at home for some of us than financially, right? But this tells you how you can reign forever, day in and day out, for eternity, and never feel that. Because of sin, death reigns in the human experience, Romans 5:14. But because of Christ, grace reigns through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. Romans is the heart of biblical theology, explaining the implications of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without Romans, we would know the history of our Lord Jesus, but we wouldn't know all the significance that came from his actions. The theme of Romans is justification, that Christ has taken our sins upon himself and transferred his righteousness to our accounts. It's like having no money in your account, and all of a sudden there's just money in your account and you don't know where it's from. We are born into God's kingdom, adopted into his family, and crowned with eternal life. It's easy to feel sorry for ourselves and wish that someone would treat us like a king or a queen, even if it's just for a day. But we need to adopt the attitude of Romans 5:17, embracing the glorious truth as we are his royal children, reigning in life. Now we're going to read from Romans 16:20, which is the verse of the day. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under his feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Kittenhead, thank you, and I hope you get better. We love you. God bless you. So, it does not say in that verse that you, Scotty, or you, Amanda, or you, Kittenhead, or me, Jeremy, will soon crush Satan under our feet. It says God will. You can't. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. What does all that mean? Well, we have no authority over Satan in ourselves. Now, I'm going to come back to that after I read you some notes that I wrote down this morning. As you can see, my chicken scratch handwriting, just plundering out thoughts and ideas. Let me repeat what I said just a minute ago. We have no authority over Satan in ourselves. We all know that Satan cannot force you to sin. Am I correct? So if Satan cannot force you to sin. But we all sin. What's happening? Satan does not set out with his army of demons just to make you sin. Why would that be his end-all, be-all goal? When Christ gave us the gift of repentance. Think about that. Think about what I just said. Satan and his demons aren't set out just to make you sin. Why would their end-all, be-all goal just to set out to make you sin if we've been given the gift of salvation and repentance in Jesus Christ? Think about it. That's a losing battle for him. But he's smarter than that. When Christ gave us the gift of repentance, so we can live out our repentance more fully, and demons know that. So the demons, what they really want is to make us not fall into sin, but fall into despair. Deep despair. Loneliness. Self-destruction. Anxiety. Their goal is not to make you sin, but to rob you of all hope. Understand that. If you sin today, Satan didn't win his objective. You just walked off that short, narrow path, or that very narrow path, but you're going to get right back on. He knows that. His job is to literally bombard you with so much temptation that you choose to sin over and over and over and over and over again to a point where you are in such deep despair, loneliness, depression, state of anxiety, with no hope, hopelessness. That's what he wants. And you choose to go there. So if you feel like you're there right now, you are definitely fighting a losing battle. Because you are allowing him to put you into that deep, dark hole of despair. Sin's washed away. Jesus already washed away the sin. If you're a believer in Christ, and you believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of Man, the Son of God, who was born to grow up, to take the sin of the world upon him, to wash you all away of all your sins, to die, to rise on the third day, and to ascend into heaven and to leave us with the Holy Spirit. If you truly and honestly believe in all that, then your sins are washed away. The devil knows this. He's not dumb. That's the shame that we want to conquer, folks. Satan wants to make us fall into deep, deep pits of despair so that we stop seeking Christ altogether. And in some cases, even end up blaming Christ for where we are and why we're there. You know I'm right. You've done it yourselves. Imagine that. Imagine that he is beating you up so badly that you've fallen into a pit of destruction and despair. You're stressed out. You feel hopeless. You have not heard or felt God in forever, not because he's not near, but because you are putting filters up yourself. And he's even getting you to a point where you're blaming God for your problems. God, why are you doing this to me? Even though I have free will and I did this to myself. Jesus, why did you bring me here? I thought you were supposed to be my guy. I thought you were supposed to be my salvation, my savior. Why am I here? You're here because of you. You're here because of you. We really need to recognize all of this. And we need to avoid it. Now, I'm not talking about sinning. Yes, we want to sin less, obviously. But sometimes, some of us sin, and we go, well, I really screwed up now. I really screwed the pooch on this one. Guess I'll just do it again. Oh, the Satan loves that. He doesn't love the sin you just did. He's not going to love the sin you're about to commit. He knows they're washed away. He wants you to forget that they're washed away. He wants you to forget what Jesus did. He wants you to forget that he even exists. What's the greatest trick the devil ever pulled off on the world? Making everyone believe he didn't exist. Oh, he loves it. He doesn't want the accolades. He wants to rip you from Christ. He wants to hurt God. Not you. He doesn't care about you. To God, you're everything. To Satan, you're nothing. Think about it. The God who created everything wants little old you in the palm of his hand. He wants to hold you, kiss you, love you, and caress you. Satan doesn't give a crap about you. He wants to use you to hurt God. Sorry, I'm yelling. I'm a little pumped up over this today. Whew. Christ can take away sin from any man, any woman. Like that. Oh, you committed all those sins in your life? Thousands, millions? Guess what? Gone. Poof. Houdini. But the reason he doesn't is the same as with all passions. It's because the struggle is over salvation in actually learning to properly battle against sin. Training. We are supposed to struggle as Jesus did. We are supposed to be hated as Jesus did. We are supposed to be targeted and martyred as Jesus was. Because through those struggles, we learn how to be stronger. We learn how to be Christ-like. That's where the turn the other cheek reference comes from. A lot of people say, so you're just supposed to let somebody beat you up? No! You clearly, clearly need to open the Bible more if that's what you believe. We will learn through that struggle the spiritual life. Amen? We will learn how to pray in a way we never would have otherwise. Amen? We learn to be better. We learn to be more fulfilled people because of the struggle. We will never succeed in the fight against sin. If we fight against sin. Does that make sense? Let me say that one more time, because I'm going to bring it all together here in just a second. We will never win against sin if we fight against sin and against Satan and against his demons. Do you want to know why? Because I'm going to bring you back full circle to what I said right before I started reading my notes. We have no authority over Satan in ourselves. So because of that, if we fight against sin, if we fight against Satan, if we fight against his army of demons, we are fighting a losing battle. I can promise you, I tried. In doing so, if you think you can take, oh, Lucy on yourself, Lucifer, if you think you can take sin on yourself, if you think you can fight against Satan's army of demons, all you are doing is getting into a conversation with him. And guess what? Ready for this? He's much smarter than you. He's much more cunning than you ever think, ever thought to be. He's more manipulative than you ever even ever saw or heard of. And he is far more experienced and patient in this fight than you could ever be. Starting to get it now? He's going to make you look like a fool if you try to fight against him. He's going to make you look like a fool if you fight against sin. He's going to make you look like a fool if you fight against his army of demons. You'll never beat them. The Bible says it. We have no authority over Satan, quote, in ourselves. Nefarious. Carla, good point. Good reference to that movie. He tried to fight him. He couldn't do it. He lost the battle before he even started. No matter how much he tried to fight. What was his name? Edward? Eli, what was his name? Edward? Edward? He tried to fight the demon. He couldn't do it. No matter how much he tried, the demon beat the snot out of him every single time. He was no match. He's going to make you fall. You want to know how you win the fight? You want to know how you win the battles? What you have to do to win this fight is want something more. I don't know why I just got choked up ready to say this one. Because I battled for a long time thinking I was the bee's knees. And I wasn't anything. I was humbled real quick. What you have to do to win this fight is you have to want something else more than you want to sin. More than you want to embrace the devil's lies and temptations. And I mean every sin. I mean even just speaking wrongly, gossiping, all of it. You want to win the fight, you got to want Jesus more than you want sin. You can't face it alone. You can't beat him. You are worthless without him. You have to fight for Christ. You have to fight for the spiritual life that God has shown you. You have to find things that you're fighting for more than you are fighting against sin. That's what you have to do. Or else you are fighting a losing battle every time. You can't do it on your own. Right there, MDUSMC77, you win on your knees. Amen. Amen. You win on your knees. Miranda said, even thinking wrongly. Amen. Again, the devil does not care about one sin, two sin, three sin, four. The devil doesn't care about five, six, seven sin, eight sin or more. He cares about ripping you from the arms of God. Think about that visually. Right now, close your eyes. I want everybody to close your eyes. Think about this. You are in God's arms. You can't see his face. It's too bright. But you feel God's embrace. His warm embrace. You, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, you're having a group hug together and you feel so warm. You don't want to go. And all of a sudden, something's trying to rip you from them and you feel them letting you go. And you're like, no, no, I don't want to go. And the devil's ripping you. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't care about your sin. If he cared about your each and individual sins, then he would care about you. And he doesn't. Only cares about hurting God. And isn't that something? To hurt the creator of the universe means to put you in a dark pit of despair. Little old you living in middle of nowhere. Now let me bring it back full circle. We have no authority over Satan and ourselves. God has all authority. And he fights on our behalf. Our response to Satan's attacks should include submitting our lives to Jesus right now. This feels like you. You want to win the battle? Drop to your knees on your floor right now. Whether you're at home, whether you're at work, whether you're in public, whether you're at the bus stop, whether you're in the supermarket. Who cares what people think? You are praying for an audience of one. Actually, three and one. Living in a holy manner, praying for God's protection like I do when I walk out of my house every day and I put my hand on the mezuzah and I ask God to talk to me and I stop and I listen and I breathe slowly in my nose, out my mouth, and I hear God speaking through the wind, through the trees, through the leaves, through the birds, through the people, through the sounds, and I say, God, Lord, please protect my family both inside this home and out of this home, wherever they go. Let my love for you, let my salvation from you be enough to cover each and every person in this home, wherever they go, Lord, every day. I don't know why I'm getting choked up. I really don't. When we place ourselves under God's protection, Satan has no authority over us. He will flee. In addition, we can respond to the devil's temptations as Jesus did. All three times Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, the Lord responded by quoting God's word. If Jesus defeated temptation through scripture, we should certainly rely on the Bible to overcome Satan's temptations in our lives. It's not called the sword of the Spirit for nothing, Ephesians 6:17, armor of God. It doesn't say the armor of Kittenhead. It doesn't say the armor of Watercop or the armor of Jeremy or the armor of Shane. It doesn't say the armor of Rosa or Majogo. It says the armor of God. And it says God will stomp the devil and put his foot on the devil's head. Not us. We can't. Jeremy, are you able to take the mezuzah to your new home? I can't. I can't. And I'll tell you why. Somebody asked me that question the other day. And I didn't know the answer to it, but God told me the answer later on. It's not ours to take. It wasn't ours to begin with. It makes me cry thinking about not taking it, but that's okay. That's okay. This home had the mezuzah hidden in the doorway before we ever got there. When the man, the next door neighbor who passed away like 6 months later, who was part of the old Jewish community in this town, came to me and said, may I take that? It would mean so much to the Jewish community. I said, no, it's not mine to give. Yeah, it's part of the house. Yeah, we bought the house. Yeah, when we changed the front door, we asked them to put that back. Why? Because it's not ours. It's for the next family. It's to protect the next, hopefully, godly family that moves into that house. And do you know we've taken all our pictures off the walls because we're moving? But you know what we didn't take off the walls? The message of God. Crosses everywhere. God protects this house everywhere. Pictures of Jesus everywhere in our home. We didn't take those down. because we want the next people to buy this house to understand what who lived here before. It's not mine. It's not easy. Moving away from it. But at the same time, I know that God is the one that's moving us. Like this didn't, since something we've been thinking about for years. It's not mine to give. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I have often spoke about how I believe that the Antichrist will come in the way of AI. Now, I Living Waters, whom Ray Comfort does videos for, they put out a new video about AI. Now, I know you're going to hear Ray Comfort in this video, but that wasn't my intention today. I know we saved those days specifically for Ray. But as long as we're talking about a losing battle, we need to speak about AI, folks. Because what you're about to see in this video is something that blew my mind. And this guy says, do you want to know where we are with AI? He said, you remember the old video games, the 4 and the 8-bit video games of the 80s? He goes, that's where we are with AI right now. Look at where video games are today. They're basically immersive. They're basically movies. He said, think back at Atari. That's where we are with AI right now. And you know how crazy and scary AI is right now. So I can't even imagine you give AI another 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, what happens? I truly and honestly believe the Antichrist will either utilize or be 100% AI. So I'd like to play this video for you. This is actually going to run late. So we're going to get as much out as we can. Roll it.
AI is a Frankenstein. It's already here in the sense that the whole world is controlled by the evil one. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so every single human being that's not in contact with God is being controlled by a spiritual force.
Artificial intelligence is getting exponentially more intelligent and powerful.
Think about back in the day, like 8-bit video games. We are at that phase right now with AI. This is 8-bit AI. 30 years later, and we have now AR and VR video games. So think about 30 years from now, if this is 8-bit for AI, what will it look like 30 years from now?
Yeah, Elon Musk was asked the question, is there anything that you're afraid of? And he said AI.
I think AI is one of the biggest threats.
Joe Allen believes our brains will be hardwired to artificial intelligence systems. The emergence of scientism, a techno-religion.
When I first actually moved the cursor with my mind, it blew my mind for like a whole day. It completely changed how I live.
What is artificial intelligence? That's the first question, right? Because we got to define it. Artificial intelligence is made up of many subcomponents, and there are all kinds of algorithms that solve various problems in artificial intelligence. So it's basically human mimicking, but on steroids.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but AI isn't a problem. It's people that are the problem. It's abusing it. It's like the invention of dynamite. It was invented for a good purpose, for mining, but people blow up people
the
with
dynamite. The
difference
is that dynamite cannot be used unless somebody lights the fuse. AI can light its own fuse. I was talking to Emilio Ramos, and I want to give him a lot of credit today because he helped give me a lot of this information. And he was just saying that we're living in the era of no one knows what's real anymore.
Welcome to the future, people, because this is also an AI-generated video. And so is this, completely synthesized out of thin air by computers. This one too.
The thing about AI is that it can create images, videos. It's like deep fake on steroids. You know, we've got deep fake. So anyway, let's
back up. I find
that
deep fake scary. I don't.
Oh,
like,
that is creepy.
I really don't like it.
Yeah, and it's getting worse. I mean, it's not worse in the sense that it's becoming hard to distinguish if it's real or not.
I do have some nervousness attached to the whole idea. John Lennox, the apologist, the mathematician, he said, the first sin was rooted in the idea that God was withholding something from us. Man wanted to know what God knew. Well, AI comes along and attempts to fulfill that role. There's almost nothing AI cannot do, and the knowledge of good and evil is not knowledge that you want to have. The Christian message is the opposite of the AI message. We cannot become like God. It's not that we can become as knowledgeable as God, but that God became as one of us. And there are many religions that want to become like God, but there's only one religion where God became like man. And then he went on to say, he said, AI is attempting to conquer physical death, but it's too late. God has already conquered it through Christ's death and resurrection. I think that it would do us well to learn, to grow, to evolve, to mature inside these areas. Well, I mean, what can it do? We have blown out of the water what AI is now able to do.
This is why it's important for Christians to hear this today, because they're going to get bombarded by stuff from everywhere, and it's easy to freak out. You guys remember Y2K? The whole thing with Y2K?
Oh, yes, we had a dread.
Okay. Yeah, Y2K. I mean,
I'm ready to go.
There were Christian leaders saying, oh, this is it. And what did they base it on? Remember? Oh, the computers won't know how to flip over to zeros. And it's going to happen in the financial and the banks. And I mean, all of us were sitting there, we're counting down to midnight. We're waiting.
How much gold did you buy easy?
Like $10 trillion. But I don't tell anybody.
Do you use AI?
Yeah, I do.
You think it's good or bad?
It could be both depending on how you use it. For example, I use it for my homework, but I could easily see how you could get lazy and you know, have AI do all your work for you. You know, I'm guilty of that as well.
Easy to do, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, really.
Just ask one question, give me 10 points. Now they come and you would have taken 12 hours to do that research. So is that the only thing you could think would be bad with AI?
You know, it could be taking over people's jobs as well. And
well, I can understand that. I mean, if you go to a journalist and say, I want a story about this,
yeah,
and he comes back 2 days, I got it all together, and go to AI and you can have it in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That's frightening for the reporter, for the journalist. Do you think there's an afterlife?
Yeah, I do.
Heaven and hell?
Yeah.
So how do you get to heaven?
If you're a good person and you follow God, you can get to heaven.
I mean, tell me what good thing I have to do to get everlasting life. The reason I use those words is because a rich young ruler in the Bible came to Jesus and he said, good master, what do I have to do to get eternal life? What good thing do I have to do? Do you know what Jesus said to him?
No.
He said, there's none good but God. Why do you call me good? Do you think you're good?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm bad.
Are you morally good?
Yeah.
AI is a great, useful tool currently today for research. However, when we start using it to think for us, what we do is we hand over our critical thinking skills to AI. Another aspect of this too is art. So now you can use AI essentially to create art, to create images that you want for yourself. Instead of paying a graphic artist, a graphic designer to do something, it's a lot cheaper to just have AI do it for you. Here's the problem with that, is that we have, as a society, a creative conscience that is already dwindling. AI is only going to increase the dwindling of our creative consciousness, our imaginations. And our imaginations is critical to what it means to be a human being, to be an image bearer of God. If we lose, what we're going to do now is lose the creative consciousness of what it means to be human. We're going to hand that over to AI. What can we as Christians do with AI? We need to stand firm and demand that churches and leaders and pastors use their creative minds, use their critical thinking to create their sermons. We need to be advocates that organizations and churches still hire creatives to create beautiful art for their purposes and needs.
But what are you guys doing? I was 19 or 20 right there. There's a man attached to those eyeballs.
I know.
This podcast is brought to you by Search and Rescue, guiding unbelievers to the Savior by Eddie Roman.
So ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, AI is very scary, and it is not allowed in my house. It's also not allowed in the company. Do you know that I could replace Eli? I could replace Frankie. I could replace pretty much everybody behind the scenes and just use AI. All the creativity of Eli and all the stuff he does and all of the memes and all of the thumbnails and the short clips and the templates and the graphics and the lower thirds, all of that, I could just have AI do it. I don't allow AI in my house. I don't allow AI in my studio. If I catch anybody in my home or my business, in my immediate business, now people, if the other hosts use it in their studios, it's on them. But if I catch anybody using it around me, I will immediately tell them to get rid of it. Not happening. I am not allowing Satan to come into my life through AI. I don't care how popular it gets. I'll be that one guy walking around without a mask in the middle of a pandemic again. Rosebud said, the video is on point. Our brains get smaller, AI brain grows. Absolutely. Absolutely. Think about what it'll do with the economy. It's going to destroy the economy. It already is. You go into Walmart, go into McDonald's, go into anywhere now. There's not workers in there anymore. And the workers that are there are sitting there like this, Eli, on their phones until you need help. Oh, you need some help? Here's my manager override or my card override. Now I'm going to go back to looking at social media while I do absolute nothing. Generation Z, Generation Alpha, no imagination. When I was a kid, I watched The Neverending Story. I was going to go to those places. Does anybody remember The Neverending Story? You remember the big tortoise, the big turtle? You can't get there. It's 10,000 miles away. When he's in the swamps of sadness? Come on, I know there's some Neverending Story fans out there. I was going to go 10,000 miles away when I was a kid. I was going to go to those places. I had an imagination like you wouldn't believe. My kids today, you send them outside, they sit on the ground and wait till you let them back in. Please let me back in where there's digital nothing. Nope. Huh. No pun intended with the nothing. But it's a good movie. It should be remade today. They should remake The Neverending Story today using the internet and AI as the nothing. Right, Eli? Wouldn't that be amazing? 10,000 miles away. I was going to go. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Atreyu, Falcor, exactly. A gold star to anybody who can remember the horse that died in the swamps of sadness. Oh, Eli, you're not in the game. Eli, we're over there. You're not in the game, Eli. Remember that horse dying, though, man? You cried. He's like, no, Artax. Are you killing the horse? All right, before we go here, I got a new book I just got to read. Mike Crispy starting right now. Acceptance. The Father gives me the people who are mine. Everyone of them will come to me, and I will always accept them. John 6:37. And 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart and accepts. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here today. I love you. God bless you. We got, Artex, exactly. 1,600 people, Eli, we broke. 1,600. We have got Mike Crispy, Unafraid, coming up next, folks. God bless you. Thank you for being here. I love you. And I'll leave you with some good music on the way out. Appreciate you being here. Remember, don't fight the losing battle. That's stupid. Fight a winning battle. And a winning battle can only be won and fought with Jesus Christ. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here. And I'll see you at 11 o'clock for Live from America. See you later. Again.
I've heard the lies they whisper to my soul. I have been forsaken, and I'll always be forgotten. No matter what I do, it's not enough. And then I heard a voice as it opened up the heavens, reminding me